for a text this morning. I'd like to continue in 1 Thessalonians, and we are going to continue in chapter 5. But the reason why I took the, in chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, the reason why that I chose that, the scripture verses, the people in Thessalonica, the church there, was predominantly, or for the most part, Gentile. There were some Jewish people there. There's, you know, the Jewish people were scattered all over that area. But in Thessalonica, Paul had started that church there, if I'm not mistaken. Got to go back and look that up. But he knew that there was some, I won't say confusion, but there was some concern. And there was some concern from the Gentile people that is, okay, what's happened to the people that have passed on? What's happened to those who have died? You know, are they saved, or are they just going to be left in the ground and only those of us who are living are going to carry on? You know, it was just, you know how it is. You know how the questions come up in your mind, and you know, if there's no instruction or no way of nobody having told you what to expect, well, you know, you can come up with all kinds of crazy ideas. So Paul knew that this was happening, and this is the reason why he went, and in fact, how he started it out. I don't want you to be ignorant, is what he's saying. And concerning those that are asleep, and of course we know when Scripture, when it talks about people that have passed on, it talks about them being asleep. But he didn't want them to feel sorry for those who had passed on. Most all of us here have had someone that has passed on, a family member or somebody that we knew or were quite close to. And there may also be some of us that have had or know people that have had family members that have passed on who were not believers. And I'm thinking specifically of a time where I knew of someone like that. And the sorrow that they had was so immense. And they didn't understand. For those of us who are believers, for those who pass on who are believers, yes, it is a sorrowful time. There's no question. You can't get away from that. But there is that assurance that they have passed on and that they are in a better place. They have passed on to be with their Savior, who is their salvation. Now, how that pans out and how that works out, I have no idea. God has not given me any type of an insight on that. But the point is that God has promised that if we believe and if we trust and if we have faith in His salvation, in His Savior, in His Son, that we will one day be with Him. When Sue and I were on our way back, we stopped in Memphis, Tennessee, and there was a big, the only reason for me to stop there is to see the Bass Pro Shop, but it's a beautiful place, but that's just a man, that's mankind talking, and I'm not going to go any further with that. But there happened to be a law enforcement officer in there, and I started talking shop with him. I was waiting for Sue, and we were waiting to leave, and I started talking to him. And of course, David, having been law enforcement, we had somewhat of a connection, and we started talking, and he was a Christian man. And just before we left, he told me, he said, I haven't told very many people this, but he said, I saw Jesus and I saw heaven. Because he had been on the operating table, and he said he actually had physically died on that table. I'm not going to refute it. I'm not going to say it didn't happen. I'm leaving that in God's hands. But I do know that when Sue's mom passed away two different times, she saw heaven. And his report of what he saw was a carbon copy of what Sue's mom saw. No difference. How can I say it didn't happen? I would never say that it didn't happen, because God knows what's going on. God knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what people need to be uplifted and strengthened. So as we go through those verses, the last 18th or the last verse of that particular text was, it says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And that's why Paul was doing that. He was comforting. And I'll leave that there because it may continue on, come up again. But as we move on into chapter 5, when I first read this, I thought that, well, okay, he's instructing how this is all going to happen. But no, that wasn't the purpose for these words. That wasn't the purpose for this text. That purpose was for help to build up, to comfort, to strengthen, and to encourage all the believers that were in Thessalonica at that time. So if we would, let's read, begin with verse 1 and reading through verse, I believe it's verse 11. Yeah, through verse 11, and reading the words in Jesus' name. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Amen. Humbling prayer. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Father, we know that you are, that you deserve all the glory, all the honor, and all the riches that we could possibly ever imagine. So, Father, this morning we pray that you would speak to us. We pray that you would give the words, and that the words would be yours, and that we would leave from here glorifying your name and strengthened in our faith. Lord, we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you don't have, or you have no need that I write unto you." In the first chapter of Acts, Jesus said the same, basically said the same thing. Acts chapter 1, verse 7. "And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power." Mankind always wants to know what's going to happen, or when it's going to happen, or how it's going to happen, or whatever. But that's, in this particular case, that's not important. That's not why we have been given this word. That's not why we have been given each and every one of us. That's not why we've been given each other. Because we need each other. We need each and every one to jointly fit together to encourage and to help and to understand and have a friendship and a loving compassion for each other. So we don't need to know what the times and the seasons. We don't need to know when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen. Our focus needs to be on how we are living our lives. And that is not to gain anything out of that. But that is only because of our faith that we have in Christ Jesus. And because we believe and trust in him, we do according to his will. And if something is placed before us to help, to do something that we have the experience and or the wherewithal to do it, then that's what Christ wants us to do. He wants us to help out and to help each other, to uplift each other. For you know perfectly the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. We know that. We know that it is going to come in such a way when we least expect it. It's going to come in such a way that even though this word here says a thief in the night, which of course we know that we don't know when it's going to happen, but it's not going to come at night. You look in Matthew in the 24th chapter, I believe it's 30 and 31, it tells about how Jesus is going to come. It tells that he is, when he comes, it's going to be as lightning, which starts over there and lights up over there. The whole landscape will be lit with his power and with his glory. It's not going to happen at night. It's not going to happen in such a way that we won't see it. It's going to happen in such a way that all people will see it, whether saved or unsaved. Everyone will see it happen, and it will happen in a blink of an eye, as a thief in the night. Not knowing when, but we know when it happens. And when they say peace and safety, and then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail with woman and child, and shall not escape. I've heard several different explanations on that, but the one most prevalent, or one that seems to be the most prevalent, when people talk about, or when it speaks about peace and safety, it's speaking about an individual life. It's speaking about a life where I'm comfortable, I have lots of money, I can do this, I can do that, I can go anywhere I want, and basically you're losing focus. Basically you're losing focus on where your salvation lies. And you get to the point where that seems to start taking a back seat. And that's what he says, for when they shall say peace and safety, be careful. And I'm not saying any of us are doing that, but it is a danger for each and every person, saved or unsaved, because we can all fall into it. Satan doesn't distinguish anybody. He doesn't come along and say, well, all right, that guy believes in Christ, so I'm not going to bother him. No, you're the one that he's going to bother the most. You're the one that he's going to come after. Because he already has the other one. He already has the one that doesn't believe. And that's what he tries to do. He tries to take the Christian. He tries to take the believer and take them out of the equation. Because that's the only way that he can hurt. But we know that he can't do it, because we believe and we trust. But you, brethren, you're not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. You're not in darkness. We aren't in darkness. We know where our trust is. We know where our salvation lies. We know that if we continue to believe, our salvation will be in him and is in him. You're all children of the light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. I remember a lot of times my dad used to tell me that nothing good happens after midnight. You know, he's not wrong. And I think if you go back in the years when you were younger, some of the things that took place, at least for me, and I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, I mean, I got plenty here. Some of the things that took place after it got dark were not good. And I'll just leave it there. But see, that's when all of the evilness and wickedness takes place. because mankind thinks that they can get away with it because nobody can see them. Mankind thinks that this is something I can do because nobody will understand it. One thing you have to remember, or one thing I did find out about this, and it's something that goes along in this with this particular text or verse. The city of Thessalonica, boy, I keep getting a tongue tied on that one, Thessalonica, was a Gentile town. It was a Gentile city, and there was a lot of nastiness going on. And they had a god there that they worshipped. I believe he was a god of wine, if I'm not mistaken. But what would take place at night? That's when they had their celebrations. They didn't have them during the day, because during the day, people could see them. They had those celebrations at night. And the stuff that happened in those celebrations was not anything we want to talk about. But it wasn't good. But you see, that's how Satan works. He wants to get you or get us or get everybody away from the good. But he has to do it at night. He has to do it in the darkness so that no one would see. And that's how he will tempt us. So we are not children of the night. We are children of the day. We are children of the light, and that light is Jesus Christ. That's where our salvation lies. He says, therefore, don't let us sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And in this case, they're not talking about sleep as being in death. But they're talking about observe and continue to study. Don't ignore your salvation. Excuse me. Don't ignore what's going on. Don't be tempted to lay your Bible aside and walk away from it. But study it. Don't fall asleep, but continue to watch. Continue to be sober. In other words, continue to be focused on where your salvation is, and strengthen yourself through the word and study it. For they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. Again, going back to the same thing, all of that stuff takes place during the night when nobody can see them. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet of hope of salvation. The breastplate of faith and love and a helmet. That is putting on God's word, putting on God's scripture, and using that as a shield against whatever Satan would cast upon us. And always remind ourselves that we are indeed children of God. We are indeed children of the light and not of darkness. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He hasn't appointed us. He hasn't given us that encouragement. He hasn't given us that salvation so that we would be angry. Or he hasn't given us that salvation so that we would ignore it. Our salvation is in Christ Jesus, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And that's what our goal is. Our goal is to be with him. It doesn't matter whether we're awake or we're asleep, whether we live or we die, our salvation is with him. God has plans. You can read down through scripture. You can look at the Old Testament. I think two of my favorite ones are are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and also Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into a fiery furnace and heated seven times hotter than it had ever been heated before. People that threw them in there actually died because of the heat. And the king says, I thought we threw three of them in there. How come I see four wandering around? It was Christ that was with them and protecting them because they believed and they would not bow. They would not bend the knee to the king, to King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel was the same. People, his enemies, I guess if you will, said false things about him. So threw him in the lion's den. The king couldn't sleep all night. He was so worried and so concerned because he loved Daniel that much. But he had to put him in there because he had signed a decree that all people would bow to the king and not to Daniel's God. The king went early that next morning and asked, and before he even got to the pit, hollered out to Daniel and asked him if he was okay. And Daniel told him that God had shut the mouths of the lions. What was the end result of those two incidences? What was the end of those two things that happened? The king sent out a proclamation that everyone in his kingdom is to bow and respect and honor the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the God of Daniel. God has a plan. He has a plan even today. He doesn't start out and say, well, okay, I'm going to change this course or do this and do that. No, no, no. He has a plan start to finish. And he has a plan today. And it started out with a young girl being called by an angel to be the mother of our Lord and our Savior. And that plan is still going on today. That plan is still going on even at this moment. And each and every one of us are being called to represent our salvation and to represent our Savior. The last verse of our text is the same as the last verse of the previous chapter. Not word for word, but the same meaning. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Strengthen, uplift, encourage. Encourage each other. If you notice that someone is, well, maybe not acting quite right, and I'm not talking about in a bad way, but not acting this as they normally do. There seems to be a sadness, maybe. What's it going to hurt to go up and say, hey, you don't seem to be yourself. Is there anything going on that I can help you with? Is there anything that is going on that I can pray for? You don't have to get depth. You don't have to get down in the depths of it and find all the dirty little details. No, don't have to do that. Just offer the chance to pray and let them know that, hey, I care. Sounds real easy to do, doesn't it? Sometimes it's not so much. But God can indeed strengthen and uplift us even in this day. In his name we pray. Amen.